Welcome to the Association of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development Podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to a large audience. My guest today is Friedman Poldin from Utrecht School of Economics. He recently published an article entitled "Follow the Money: Funding Acquisition Processes of Nascent Ventures." It has been co-authored with Andrea Ehrman, Lucas Held, and Dimo Dimov. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Friedman, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you.
Can you tell us what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic? And what is the question you aim to answer?
Yeah, so we started off and looking at the literature on nascent venturing, and we found that especially the processes in general, what kind of process nascent ventures go through, are generally under research, right? So there's a lot, it's very little process, genuinely process oriented research, and especially what kind of choices nascent ventures make, right? How they transition from one stage to the other. And this is usually leaps, entrepreneurial leaps, or stages in their development that people have been looking at. And also in another reason for writing this paper was that, okay, there is a dominant theory in this literature called pecking order, right? The stylized sequence, the process, on the funding sources that an entrepreneur would try to acquire, right? First his own funds, other family, friends, and then formal debt and equity. And that might be reversed, or there might be conditions under which this applies or might not apply. So that was also kind of a theoretical reason for looking at that. And we thought, okay, this is like a good combination or a good opportunity to combine those two, right? The process perspective, and also using this more generally process-oriented data, because most of this, the research in entrepreneurial finance relies on yearly data. You have a capital structure, etc. So you don't know really what happens in between. And we actually used a metaphor in this paper, in the earlier versions. It didn't make it to the final paper, but we had this analogy in there, like a journey by a car, right? So you need, you can't tank all the fuel that you need for the whole journey beforehand, but you need to have a fueling strategy, right? So you need to know where to stop, how much fuel to take on to really reach your destination. And we thought, okay, the entrepreneur is some kind of driver. So this might be a good metaphor for the venture development. And of course, financial resources are one of the essential fuels that that this driver needs to acquire. So we thought, okay, if this metaphor and also the theory behind it is true, then it's actually not random. It's not chaos what happens in terms of funding acquisitions of ventures. So there needs to be kind of a strategy. And we wanted to find out, okay, are there particular patterns of strategy and what kind of determines it?
What are the main contributions of your paper?
Yeah, we have set out carved out three contributions in the end that we claim, right? So one is a theoretical one. And there's one what I already said, so namely that there is order in this funding acquisition process, right? So there's not kind of randomly ad hoc pursuit of several or distinct sources of finance, right? So what is available, what is not available, right? But it is really intertwined with your venture creation process. And we show, okay, so that this logic, right, on what kind of process I embark, and that is also something that we say, okay, it's not about individual sources of finance that you can later then see in the balance sheet, but it's a whole process that the entrepreneur goes through for acquiring a particular set of funding sources. Sometimes it's dominated by one particular funding source, but sometimes it's also a combination, like a transition from one to the other, or kind of acquiring particular fuels, just as we say, for this car journey. So that is one, and we show that, okay, this depends really on the tangibility of the product, right, and how complex it is. Is it really kind of a tangible product, technologically oriented, or is it the service, for example? That's a major difference. And of course, how novel is it, right? How innovative is this project that basically is the destination, right, of the driver to stay within the metaphor. And empirically, we find 7 distinct funding acquisition processes of these European and Northern American ventures that we look at, and the majority relying on their own funds, right? That is also kind of in line with what we already know. But we also saw, okay, even in this nascent venture phase, which is the very early stages, maybe also before kind of formal incorporation, definitely before reaching sustainable profits, because that is basically how we define the process ends of nascent venturing. And we saw that there are funding processes where entrepreneurs acquire debt together with their own funds, or sequentially, and ventures pursue equity or grant-based processes. And the latter is also something that traditional entrepreneurial finance literature has been a bit neglectant of. And what we also do is we introduce this method to really say, okay, how similar are particular processes and how can you distinguish particular entrepreneurial finance process? And therefore, we use a method called sequence analysis. And long ago, this has been used to decode the human genome. So more hard science-based approach. But we also use it to compare kind of entire funding acquisition processes. And we introduce that to the entrepreneurial finance space.
What was for you the main theoretical or maybe methodological challenge or challenges in raising such a question?
Yeah, one theoretical challenge was really, and I alluded to that already, that the current landscape of entrepreneurial finance literature does not so easily match with the process theory of entrepreneurship, right? As I said before, they are using kind of mostly yearly data as this kind of milestones or stages in venture development. So there is kind of a temporal element to it. And that's usually limited by the kind of data that is being used, right? So there's the panel of socioeconomic dynamics, for example, right? The PSED studies that have yearly surveys that follow ventures over time. But then you don't really know what happens kind of in between in the year. And especially in the nascent stage, a lot of things can happen. It can be happening. So we try to achieve that, really marry those two literatures. And of course, that goes with a lot of theoretical challenges, because they couldn't, or representatives of the real finance literature, they didn't really see in first instance the added value of considering a funding acquisition process as an entity. When I was saying, okay, but is it all about acquiring debt or all about acquiring equity? But we try to say, okay, it's an important sub-process of the entrepreneurial process. And we kind of carved that out in our theoretical contribution. And that is mostly related kind of also to the theoretical consideration of, yeah, this information interplay between entrepreneur and financier, right? The entrepreneur always knows more about the venture than the financier. And that happens along kind of the process, or this also influences the whole acquisition process, not only if I approach a venture capitalist and I get investment, or if I approach a bank and I get a loan. So that is a bit trying to uncover this dynamic phase in the venture lifecycle. And methodologically, yeah, we had quite a rich data set. So that's a blessing and a curse at the same time. So we had really those 762 ventures, monthly data with all of their activities, right? If they were partnering up with other firms, what kind of that's what we used for this paper, because it's part of a larger project. We used this funding acquisition task that they were performing, right? If they were trying to acquire a loan, or if they were writing a grant application. So that, I think, encoding this process and this monthly data for the 762 ventures, this was really a kind of the major empirical challenge here. So, to end up with, okay, what kind of sources did they eventually acquire? And sometimes there's also periods where nothing happens, right? That's also, and then you focus really not on acquiring fuel, but then you drive, right? Then you are heading towards the goal that you envision, namely developing your product, service, scaling up, reaching sustainable profits in our case. So, and then of course, finding the right antecedents, right? So how can we really say that these are strategic choices and not emergent kind of processes only, and there we controlled for kind of founder experience, prior occupation, etc. But devising this was also really a major puzzle, let's put it that way. But we're all in for solving puzzles as academics, so that was really a nice way of working on this project.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise, or maybe the most counterintuitive result?
Yeah, so I thought a little bit about that. And yeah, I think most of the kind of venture capital literature, entrepreneurial finance literature would predict, right? If you have the most kind of products, innovative products, then and you want to scale up, so you need to transition from this nascent into other phases, you would need kind of some equity investment, venture capital, and business angel investment. Right, but we and then really somewhere, because they are looking for this groundbreaking innovation with which they can basically disrupt the market, right? This is how venture capital works. But we actually found that apparently they have become more risk averse, or there's others. You see that venture capitalists are moving to later stages when there is less uncertainty. So what we saw here, and I think that is quite counterintuitive, at least to kind of the early stage entrepreneurial finance literature, is that apparently in a situation in which ventures pursue radical innovative product, they pursue this grand trajectory, right? So what this neglected one that is not really a source of finance because there's no kind of return for the investor. But of course, for society, it's very important that these innovations get developed. So we found, okay, contrary to what this literature would predict, these ventures are actually going for a grand trajectory, saying, okay, we really embrace the novelty and we take a bit of a longer time, but then we also need grant finance.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, managers, practitioners in general?
Yeah, we have some implication, mostly for policymakers, but also for the entrepreneurs themselves. So at the moment, and it's a bit the same kind of fallacy that a lot of the entrepreneurial or entrepreneurial finance support instruments and policymakers in that space do, that they focus kind of on the majority, the minority of ventures, right? Namely those that need to acquire external finance. But we also show, okay, there are kind of differences within those trajectory, right? Some of them with more kind of imitative products, they pursue, for example, a more adept-based trajectory. And of course, you need, especially, for example, if you want to go, and I'm making this picture a bit broader, if you go to the transition now, right, the sustainability transition, then, of course, you need to also roll out what has already been done. So there it's a different support than if you would go for kind of the radically innovative ones, which would, for example, then require more kind of research, more demonstration grants. But policymakers should also not remain agnostic of the large kind of majority that are the ones that are self-funded, those ventures, right, in those nascent phase, or are funded by kind of insiders like family and friends and close social ties. So some support for those, even though they are maybe remain small or maybe not be the next Amazon, the next Google, or the next Tesla, they still have an important kind of role to play in the regional entrepreneurial ecosystem, for example. So supporting them with possibilities for tax breaks, write-offs, etc., that might be wise as policymakers. And for managers, yeah, we show, okay, it might be successful if you think of this kind of really not as I would acquire as a shopping tour, right? I'm going for source of funding or for that source of funding, but really thinking about it more strategically as a funding process. So where do I need to end up? Where do I want to end up? How does my journey look like, to stay within kind of the metaphor that I mentioned in the beginning, and plan those fueling stops ahead. So and then according to kind of what kind of I envision in the outset, innovative venture? Do I want to hire employees? Where am I based? What kind of experience do I have, etc.? That shapes basically this trajectory. And knowing this beforehand, we'll probably avoid a lot of mistakes that entrepreneurs make on the way. And don't get me wrong, experimentation is important and the mistakes need to be made. But I think based on our findings, looking at those stylized trajectories, I think that could give entrepreneurs some kind of guidance.
Thanks a lot, Friedman, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Follow the Money, Funding Acquisition Processes of Nascent Ventures. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-eod.com and on the main podcast platforms.